On the same day that Saturday Night Live mocked President Trump for his handling of ISIS, the president authorized an operation that took out the ISIS leader. Robert Francis O'Rourke explains how his take the guns policy would work and has Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's 15 minutes finally run out. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13 Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. I hope you had a great weekend. Mine was great because the Astros are up 3-2 in the World Series, so all is good. Game 6 is tomorrow night, so looking forward to that. But we've got a lot of news, and we're going to start with President Trump because there was some big stuff that went on this weekend. And I don't know if it's karma or what, but it's just funny the contrast on what happened Saturday, the way Saturday Night Live portrayed it, and the way things went down with President Trump. So on Saturday Night Live, they decide to bring in Alec Baldwin and do a skit bashing President Trump. And part of the skit was to focus on ISIS. And here's how it went.
Where are you from, son? New Mexico?
ISIS. Yeah, I was a prisoner in Syria until last week when you freed me. So I just wanted to say thank you for bringing jobs back to ISIS. And I promise that I will make ISIS great again. Woo!
And then Baldwin, as President Trump, added this part.
Terrific, what a great guy. ISIS is back in a big, big way, folks. And we love that, don't we? Okay.
So ISIS is back in a big, big way. The problem is that Saturday Night Live didn't get the memo that something big was going down on Saturday. And that is through intelligence gathered over a very long time and culminating in the last couple of weeks, President Trump and his team had word on where ISIS's leader, the number one terrorist that we're looking for in the world, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, they found where he is. President Trump authorized an operation to take him out. Saturday Night Live obviously didn't know about it. The Democrats didn't know about it either because President Trump didn't want to tell them because of leaks. But on Sunday, he held a press conference and announced to the world and to our country and everyone what happened. And here's part of President Trump's statement.
Last night, the United States brought the world's number one terrorist leader to justice. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead. He was the founder and leader of ISIS, the most ruthless and violent terror organization anywhere in the world.
So that's quite a bit different than Saturday Night Live's take on the president and ISIS. So the president explained how the operation went down and how al-Baghdadi fled in his compound into a dead-end tunnel. And here's more from the president.
The compound had been cleared by this time, with people either surrendering or being shot and killed. 11 young children were moved out of the house and are uninjured.
So 11 children were removed from the compound unharmed, and al-Baghdadi took three of his kids with him down this dead-end tunnel, and then President Trump describes those last few moments.
He reached the end of the tunnel as our dogs chased him down. He ignited his vest, killing himself and the three children. His body was mutilated by the blast. The tunnel had caved in on it in addition.
So, wow, what an operation. The same day that SNL mocks President Trump, the ISIS leader is taken out. And I just want to share one more clip with you because the president had a very thorough press conference during his statement that he made. And one of the things that he mentioned was actually broadcasting those last few moments of al-Baghdadi so that supporters could see what a coward he is. And I just wanted to play that for you.
He died like a dog. He died like a coward. He was whimpering, screaming, and crying. And frankly, I think it's something that should be brought out so that his followers and all of these young kids that want to leave various countries, including the United States, they should see how he died.
So see, I find that clip very interesting because in the past, you know, with President Bush or President Obama, there was always this, you know, oh, we don't want to say anything to upset the terrorists. the people that are attacking us, the people that are already planning to do us harm. There was always this, oh, let's tread lightly, let's not offend them. And President Trump is just the exact opposite. He says, let's show these people who are trying to recruit others, you know, even in the United States, let's show them what a coward their leader actually was. I think it's brilliant. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I just love the approach rather than trying to appease or tread lightly over the people who already hate us. Let's take them out. Let's decimate ISIS and move on. It doesn't make any sense. So following this, how was the reaction? Well, I picked a few examples just to show you that the Democrats and the media, they have a hard time understanding anything that happens good in the Trump administration. So as you know, the Democrats weren't advised about this operation beforehand because President Trump was afraid of leaks, like the House Intelligence Committee run by Adam Schiff, who's leading this impeachment inquiry. We see how Schiff lies and just makes up stuff. So the last thing we want to do is brief them and have things leak out and possibly endanger the mission. So Nancy Pelosi put out a statement. Here's part of what she said. She said, the death of al-Baghdadi is significant, but the death of the ISIS leader does not mean the death of ISIS. Scores of ISIS fighters remain under uncertain conditions in Syrian prisons, and countless others in the region and around the world remain intent on spreading their influence and committing acts of terror. The House must be briefed on this raid, which the Russians, but not top congressional leadership, were notified of in advance, and on the administration's overall strategy in the region. Our military and allies deserve strong, smart, strategic leadership from Washington. Yes, and I think that's exactly what they're getting. No thanks to the Democrats and the media that try and subvert anything that President Trump tries to do, whether domestically or under foreign policy. Now, the other thing I want to show you is the Washington Post ran an obituary of al-Baghdadi, and it was just, I can't describe it because their headline originally described this terrorist leader as an austere religious scholar. It's just nuts. Here's a report from Fox News. It says, the Washington Post published a gasp-inducing headline for the ages Sunday describing ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi as an austere religious scholar. The obituary, written by the Post's national security reporter Joby Warwick, followed the confirmation of al-Baghdadi's death in a U.S. operation in Syria on Saturday night. It detailed al-Baghdadi's rise to the terrorist group's shadow leader from what the paper described as the origins as a religious scholar with wireframe glasses. What? I mean, it's just, of course this was going to get a bunch of bad reaction, because what are they talking about? This was a person that has beheaded countless people, who has killed Americans, who's burned people. I mean, it's just, and that's how he was described. So, of course, the Washington Post, under this pressure, they changed their headline and they ended up changing it to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, extremist leader of ISIS state, dies at 48. A little bit different than austere religious scholar, all right? Former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer put out this tweet. He said, stop, read, and think about it. Last night, a ruthless, brutal terrorist who threatened our country and is responsible for the death of American citizens was killed in a successful operation by U.S. military, and Washington Post described al-Baghdadi as an austere religious scholar. I mean, it's just ridiculous that, I mean, do these media organizations, are they ISIS sympathizers? I mean, or do they just hate President Trump so much that they can't give him credit for authorizing this job and following it through and actually taking out this leader? I don't know what their motivation is, but it's just absolutely unbelievable that they could put a headline out like that. So next, I want to move to Robert Francis O'Rourke, because, you know, since these Democrat debates, when he came out and said he's going to take our AR-15s, take the AK-47s, I'm just going to take them from people, you know, he's been under a lot of pressure. And because he's, you know, just sinking like a stone in the campaign, he's doubling down on this message. He thinks this is a winning message for him. And this weekend, he was giving a Q&A session. He was asked about it again. And here's part of what he said.
If we're able to pass mandatory buybacks and I'm able to sign that into law, then I fully expect our fellow Americans to turn in their AR-15s and their AK-47s.
So as president, he thinks that if he somehow passes some anti-Second Amendment legislation, that people are just going to hand in their guns. They're just going to say, yeah, that's cool. We're just going to hand them in. All right. Well, what about the people that don't think that's such a good idea? Here's what he said.
For anyone who does not and is caught in possession or seen in possession of one of these weapons of war, one of these instruments of terror, that weapon will be taken from them and they will be fined.
All right, so raise your hands out there if you think that will ever happen. Do you think this will ever happen? No. And I don't know why he keeps saying it over and over again. If he thinks this sliver of constituency that actually thinks this plan is a good idea is enough to get him the nomination or enough to get him the presidency. I don't know where he's coming from, but this is not the mindset of the American people. So next, I want to talk about CNN's Chris Cuomo. He was on Bill Maher's HBO show this weekend, and they talked about a number of things. Mostly, he was bashing President Trump and on and on and on, and he's way off base with the way he thinks President Trump thinks. But what was interesting is they moved to the topic of the squad. You know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley. And three out of four of them have now endorsed Bernie Sanders for president. So it shows that these socialist-minded freshmen want their socialists. That's what they want for the American people. And so Bill Maher asked Cuomo about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the squad, and here's what he said.
Three-fourths of the squad came out for Bernie Sanders.
Yes. Yes. What? Yes, they did. I laugh at that because I don't know how that squad thing actually happened.
So that's pretty interesting. I don't think Bill Maher was expecting that initial response, and here's more from Cuomo.
I don't know why we're calling a bunch of freshmen some kind of entity of influence in a system they just got into.
Because they do have a lot of influence.
They have a lot of social media influence. Right, they have political cachet. The media loves to talk about them. But I think you have to put points on the board if you're going to earn your office. Get things done for your constituents, not just for your own profile.
Wow. So who would have thought? Who would have thought that Chris Cuomo would see through the actions of Omar and Tlaib and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and call them out for looking up after themselves, promoting themselves on social media, and getting absolutely nothing actually done in the U.S. House of Representatives. It's just very interesting. And so finally, on some quick closing quick hits, we've got Democrat Katie Hill, who won a swing district, a crucial district in California. She's a freshman Democrat in Congress. She resigned this weekend for having relationships with basically anything that moves, man or woman, posting pictures that just were very strange. She's out. And the NCAA's Big Sky Conference announced their cross-country female athlete of the week, who's a biological male. So it just shows you that we are definitely in the end times. Folks, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe. And when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified. And we'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, just a little reminder before you go, and no, this does not count against my 13 minutes. Please hit the subscribe button below and tell your friends. And if you happen to miss our last show, you can check it out right here. And also for great conservative news and commentary, please check out GOPUSA.com. All right, folks, we'll see you on the next show. Have a great day.